Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Place on the King James Radio Network. Corbett Thompson here at jamesisking.com. You can find us on Facebook under the name King James Radio Network and on Twitter at King James Radio 1, the number one. And this is a service of Restoration Christian Ministries out of North Brunswick, New Jersey, which features co-pastors John and Darlene Bazemore. And the clip that you just heard was from the late, great Muhammad Ali talking about what he wanted to do after his retirement and talked about the fact that God is watching, you know, no matter what you do, even if the earthly authorities do not catch you, doing whatever, that God is still watching, and that when you do leave this earth, God will be right there. And so that was just a clip, like I said, from the late, great Muhammad Ali, the former heavyweight boxing champion of the world who passed away earlier this week at the age of 74. This week, co-pastor Darlene Bazemore talks about, where will you spend eternity? And it's, you know, a pretty simple question. Where would you like to spend eternity? Would you like to spend it above or below? It's simple in nature, but First Lady will break it down a whole lot further. And so without any further ado, where will you spend eternity is this week's message on this edition of Restoration Place.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents First Lady and co-pastor Darlene Bazemore.
God bless you. Amen. We thank God for this opportunity. Amen. While you're standing, we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord Amen. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for how you have blessed us. We thank you, Father God, for how you have blessed in this service, how you're blessing your servants, oh God. Yes, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. And we thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to be able to come before the people of God. We pray, Father God, that I would decrease, Lord, that you may increase in me. Let your sweet Holy Spirit speak through these lips. Mold these lips of clay, oh God, to speak only the words that you would have me to speak, Father God. Anoint anoint me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, God. Oh, God, we pray, Father God, that the word that comes forward will minister to the hearts of your people, oh, God. And we just thank you right now, and we praise you, God, for all that you're going to do on today. I serve notice on the enemy that he has no place, no power, no room in this place of restoration, in this sanctuary. Our feet are on your head in the name of Jesus. We stomp upon you. You can have no dominion in this place in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We just thank God again for this opportunity. I thank God for that song. This means war. Amen. Amen. We've come to a place and time where we have to serve notice on the enemy that he is not going to take our increase. He's not going to take our health. He's not going to take the promises of God from us. But this means war. Amen. We're going to stand upon the word of God and stand on the things that he has told us in his word. Yes. Amen. We're going to fight back with the word of God.
Amen.
And we are going to be more than conquerors. God has already promised that we are more than conquerors through him. Amen. And we are just grateful on today. Amen. I was thinking, as Pastor was talking, he could have just kept on because he was all over everything that I was going to say. So I was like, okay, you just go ahead. You can take this, you know. You can have it. And, you know, we were talking this week, actually, on yesterday in particular, and we were talking about Muhammad Ali and his passing. And we started thinking about all of the different people that may have passed, whether they're famous or not famous family, you know, close friends and relatives, and the early ages in which some people have passed. And then we started talking about this book that he has already read, but he's listening to, again, through audio, and it's called The Divine Revelation of Hell. And it's by Mary Kay Baxter. She has also written The Divine Revelation of Heaven. But we were, in particular, we were talking about The Divine Revelation of Hell. And then the thought came to me, where will you spend eternity? Mm-hmm. And we think about it, you know, we may talk about it very lightly, I'm going to live right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go to heaven. But in her book, in one of the excerpts of her book, she talks about how there were pastors and there were preachers there. Yes. And someone standing there, you know, burning in eternity with a Bible in his hand. And, and she, I guess to back up for a moment, the way she got there was that the Lord came to her straight, 30 days straight, for 3 hours per night that she was sleeping. And he came to her from 2 in the morning to 5 in the morning. And where her physical body was laying there in the bedroom resting, her spirit and her soul went with the Lord, and the Lord took her into hell. And that's how she got the opportunity to see all of this. And he did this consecutively for 30 days. And she tells her story about that. And in her journey with him, she saw the pastors and the preachers there, and now catching back up to where I was before. And she said the men were crying. This one preacher was crying out to the Lord and was asking him, you know, I prayed for your people. I laid hands on them. I prayed for the sick. I did this and I did that. You know, why am I here? And the Lord explained to him it was because of your heart. Your heart had become hardened to the things of Christ. Your heart was not in a place where you were spending time with me. You were so busy doing things that you had become so far from me that your heart was not in the right place. Your motives then turned to go into the wrong direction. You were doing things, but you were doing them for the wrong reason. So I started doing a self-examination as I was thinking about this, and I said to myself, God, where will I spend eternity? And I started asking that question. And if you would turn with me to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, and it's starting at the 38th verse and reading down to the 42nd verse, it's the story about Mary and Martha, and it's a very familiar story. And I'm going to start reading at the 38th verse. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which also shall not be taken away from her.'" And when I thought about this, a lot of times Pastor teases me, and he says, "Okay, now you got that Martha spirit. You're walking around the house, you're doing this, you're doing that, you know, and you really should be focusing your time on something else." And when I look at this in particular, Martha was busy, and although she meant well, she was busy, you know, trying to prepare, trying to make sure everything was right, you know. She's got the Lord and Savior coming into her home. She wants to make sure that things are prepared and that she's serving him in the right manner. Although her intentions were good, Mary was doing the better part. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Mary was listening to the word. She was listening and soaking in and spending time with her Savior. And that's what we have to do. A lot of times, we have so many different activities and so many different things going on in the church and otherwise that we're so busy that we're not doing what God desires most from us, and that is spending time with Him.
Yes, yes.
And that's what's going to determine your relationship with Him and how the things that you do for Him. That's what's going to determine where you're going to spend eternity. Because the more time you spend with Him, the less time you are going to spend away from Him doing things that are not pleasing in His sight.
So true.
So when I thought about Mary, I thought about myself even, and I thought about when I was in the church growing up. And the church that I came from, they had all these different auxiliaries, you know, and because we had a small ministry, or what I considered kind of small at that time, you were crossing and overlapping into, like, different ministries. And I remember going to my pastor one time and saying, you know, "Do you mind if I'm not in, like, three of these auxiliaries?" You know, because as I started counting them, I was spread across in, like, maybe seven different auxiliaries. But when you think about it, think about how you divide your time. If you divide yourself and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing something else for someone else, then how are you being really effective in the thing that you have a passion and a purpose for?
Yes, yes.
So we have to get ourselves into the mindset of spending time with the Lord. We have to get ourselves out of this Martha, as my husband calls it, the Martha spirit, and then we offer ourselves as an offering and a sacrifice as unto the glory and honor of God.
Yeah.
We have to be in position with Him and spend time with Him at His feet, allowing Him to minister to us, allowing Him to speak to us, allowing Him to just pour into us. But if we're in a state of just being busy all the time, then how are we going to effectively listen to Him and hear from our Lord and Savior? You know, a lot of times we think that because we're busy and because we're doing this, we're thinking in our mindset, and I know that I have even thought this at one time, "Well, God, I'm doing this activity because I want it to be pleasing unto You," or, "God, I'm doing this because I think it's a good thing to do, and I think You'll be pleased with that, and God, I want to do this because this sounds good as well." And all we're doing is we're creating checklists for ourselves, thinking that all of these good things is what's going to get us into eternity, when all God really wants from us is to keep His commandments, to sit at His feet, listen to His word, and spend time with Him.
Yes.
He wants intimacy with us.
Yes.
He wants us to be in His presence.
Yes.
We had the women's conference, and the theme for the women's conference was being in the presence of God. We wanted women all around to realize that if you're in His presence, that there's so many things that God wants to give you. There's so many things that He wants to pour into you. He wants to prepare you for purpose, but you have to be in His presence for Him to prepare you.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we say to ourselves, you know what, God, well, if I'm doing this and if I'm doing that and, you know, and if I'm going to church here and if I'm doing this, then I'm in your presence. But are you dividing yourself so much that you cannot hear from me and receive from me? Sometimes God may want you to be in one place, but you're so busy trying to go and do something else that you're not in the place where He wanted you to be.
So therefore,
you're going to miss what God wanted for you because you're not in position.
Yes.
But you have to be in position. You have to be sat. You have to be seated at His feet. You have to be there so that you can soak up the Word. What I like about Mary is that she was getting the Word from the Word.
I was like,
my God.
Yeah,
and the Word was right there, and He was pouring into her. And, you know, and I get Martha, and I realize what Martha was trying to do, because Martha wasn't trying to ignore. Martha was doing what she thought was right, and that is what is very cautious for us, because we're doing what we think is right, and we're doing what we think is required from us, and we're doing all of the things that we think that we should be doing, but we're ignoring the things that God wants the most, and that is intimacy with Him.
Amen.
In this particular passage, you know, it takes us into how God... You know, how the Lord was telling her that Mary had chosen the better part. And God wants to give more to us. He wants us, He wants to use us as His vessels, to be used unto the glory and honor of His name. He wants us to be used according to His will. Not the things that we want to do, but the things that He would have us to do.
Yes.
It is in these intimate times with Him where we can hear His voice. I was thinking about how with my husband and I, we can be in, we have a small apartment, and we can be in, say, separate rooms. But if I have the television on, and if I have water running, and he's in another room, and he's calling me, I can't hear him. And then he'll come to the room in which I am, and he'll say, "You didn't hear me calling you?" And I'll say, "Well, no, because all of these other things were going on." And it's just like with Christ. Christ can be calling us, but we've got so many other things going on that we cannot hear His voice. So we have to be yielded to Him and in a place with Him where we can have intimate relationship with Him. And it's our relationship and the things that we are doing in this relationship to draw nigh and to draw closer to Him that's going to determine where we're going to spend eternity.
My God.
A lot of times we confuse activities with relationships. You think that because you're doing all of these different things that you're in relationship with God. But you're not in relationship with Him because you're not spending time with Him. You're not talking to Him. You're not getting to know Him. You're not getting to know His ways. You don't know what intrigues God. You don't know all of these different things that you would have to know to be in an intimate relationship with a person. If I don't spend time with my husband, if I don't spend time talking to him, when we were just dating, if I didn't spend time talking to him, and if I didn't spend time asking questions and observing him and getting to know him and to know his ways, then how could I have been in a relationship with him? And then when you become husband and wife, it's not just the things that you do, but it's the things that you talk about. It's the time that's spent that's intimacy. It's not always the act of intercourse or so forth. It's not always the act of intimacy, but it's the time that you spend that's intimate. You know, sometimes we get it confused. I mean, yes, all of that's a part of being intimate with your partner, but a lot of times intimacy is spent getting to know the intricate detail of that person. So it's the same as with our relationship with Christ. We have to spend time with Him. And if you don't spend time with Him and there's no relationship, then Christ is just only an acquaintance to you. He's only an acquaintance. He's just someone that you know, but
You don't really know them. You know, and that's an acquaintance. And this is what Mary Kay Baxter was expressing, is that, you know, we have to be in an intimate relationship with God. We don't want our hearts to get hardened. We don't want to become hardened to the things of God. We don't want to do all of the things that we think that God wants from us and is requiring from us and not spend that intimate time with Him. I know that for myself, and this was like a self-examination for me, I know that for myself, I want God to get all of me. I want to have all of Him. I want to surrender to Him, and I want to do His will. I don't want to, you know, spend a lifetime of doing things and then, you know, die and then realize that I'm going to spend eternity in hell because this is not what God required of me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get there and then have a Bible in my hand and God saying to me, yeah, but what about your motives? What about your heart? Yeah. What were you thinking when you said that? What were you thinking when you passed that person by? I don't want to get into hell. And that's when God, you know, that's when the Lord is saying to me, well, you know, I gave you ample opportunities to get your life together. I sent the Holy Spirit was there, and He was pulling and He was tugging on you all of those different times, but you ignored His voice. I don't want to get there, and that's when I realize, or that's when I come to the realization of, my God, I remember that time. But I want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that I can hear Him speak and know that this is the direction that He wants me to go in. I want to be so sensitive to His voice and in such a relationship with God that if He says to me, Darlene, I don't want you to go that way, I want you to go this way, then that's the way that I'm going to go.
Hallelujah.
But I have to be in relationship with Him. I have to study my word. I have to know Him. I have to know His ways. The children of Israel, they knew the acts of God. Uh-huh. But Moses knew His ways.
God spent time in the presence of God.
He knew the ways of God.
Yes.
I don't want to be like the children of Israel that just knows the acts of the Lord.
That's
I don't
right.
want to
right.
wait until the end of my life and then not enjoy anything that God had destined for me to do. Anything that God has destined in my life to happen. I don't want to wait to the end, but I want to start now.
Yes.
I want to come into His presence.
Oh,
I want to be before Him and lay myself at His feet. And these are the things that cause intimate relationship with God.
Yeah.
This is what He's desiring of His people. His people have become so busy that they're not even listening to His voice.
Yeah.
But we have to stop and we have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to seek His face. We have to go into relationship with Him. You know, a lot of times I say to myself, even, there are things that may kind of, you know, like from the past that may kind of taunt you, or they may follow you, and you say to yourself, well, you know what, you know I shouldn't have done that, and I didn't, and it was wrong, and there's different times in your life when, you know, you get envious of someone else, and, you know, you may call it godly envy, but, you know deep down in your heart that you're just envious of that person, because, you know, they have the things that you're believing God for, and, you know, and there may be a time in your life where, you know, you may just come to a point where you have to examine yourself. And, you know, and I've come to that point where I've had to examine my heart. I've had to examine my heart in situations where I was carrying unforgiveness. You know, maybe something, I can be very honest and very transparent. There are things that have happened in my life, in childhood experiences, where I have carried that thing. I have carried that thing so much, too, even years later when I saw the person, I still couldn't look at them in the eyes because I was carrying this unforgiveness of what they had done to me as a child. But you know, God loves us so much and He cares for us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, not for the remission of just my sins, but for the remissions of sins of everyone.
Yeah.
He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be be strong and strengthened in him and joined and reconciled back into relationship with the Father. I don't have to carry guilt. I don't have to carry shame. I don't have to carry unforgiveness because Jesus bore it all for me on the cross. I can hold my head up high and I can say to that person, you know what, I forgive you and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would yet deliver you because I can see the enemy still working in you. But it's with the godly insight that I can see those things. And I thank God for salvation on today. One of the ways that you get into eternity is through salvation with our Lord and Savior. God has sent Jesus to bridge the gap between us, between that sinful nature and between God. Jesus is there to bear the sin for everyone so that we could be reconciled back to the Father. I thank him for that on today. I thank him because, you know, a lot of times we can ask the question, am I being envious? Am I being jealous of this person? Am I living in the past? Am I thinking constantly about what someone did to me? Am I holding something against someone? And when you do these things, it's the envy and the jealousy that will bind you and it will blind you and keep you out of relationship with God.
Hallelujah.
It's these things, it's these past sins that we keep carrying from one generation to the other generation. These generational curses and iniquities that we keep carrying and we keep bearing one generation after the other. Well, the buck stops here. It does not have to go to the next generation. Forgive and forget. Forgive and let God take all of the burdens that you've been carrying. Let him bear them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let him take what it is that you're carrying. Is it strife that you're carrying in your heart? What is it? What is the condition of your heart on today? Is your heart in the right place? Are your motives in the right place? Are you just doing a checklist for God so that you can say that I did this and I did that? Oh God, and why am I burning here in hell? It's because of your heart. Even though you did those things, your heart was not in the right place. In Jeremiah, hallelujah, in Jeremiah 17 and 9, it talks about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have to condition our heart. We have to take a look at our heart. God, am I doing this because it's the right thing to do? Am I doing this, God, because you're leading me and you're guiding me? Am I doing it for grandeur? Am I doing it just so that I could receive the glory? But am I doing it, God, because this is something that you have placed deep down on the inside of me and you have purpose for me to do it? We have to examine our heart. We have to forgive ourselves. One thing that I have struggled with is letting go of the past is forgiving myself for the thing that I did that I know that was not pleasing in the eyesight of God. God forgave me when I became saved. He washed all of that away.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. He forgave me then, but then I continued to carry that on. And I don't have to carry that on. God has bridged the gap with his son, Jesus Christ, that I don't have to carry that guilt and shame anymore. And a lot of times we have to forgive others. We must stop living in the past. In Psalms 51 and 10, David cries out, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. That should be our cry on today. We should be crying, God, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I don't know if I offended anybody today. I don't know if I did something that wasn't pleasing in your eyesight. But God, if I did something wrong, if I went the wrong way, if I said the wrong thing to somebody, God, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. In Romans 5 and 8, it states, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and he died for me.
Yeah.
While we were yet in our sins. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's how much God loves us. That we all might be able to be reconciled back to God. You must get your heart right. Stop being envious of others and coveting what they have. If God promised you that you will have it, then you shall have it. His word shall not return void. In Numbers 23 and 19, it states, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God promised you that he's going to do it, then he is going to do it. His word shall never return void to the people of God. God is a God that is just. He's a God that's faithful. Hallelujah. He's a majestic God. God is the God. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Hallelujah, Jesus. If God said it, he shall perform it. And that's the end of it. Hallelujah. What am I meant to do to say? Period, point blank, and end of story. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We worry too much about earthly things, and we do not concern ourselves enough about the spiritual things. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, it states, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. We have to set our affections on the things above. Hallelujah. Pastor had already stated in his testimony, Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. We have to seek the kingdom. As we seek the king, then the dumb, all of the kingdom will be added unto us. Hallelujah. So we have to seek the king. How do we seek the king? We seek him through prayer. We seek him through fasting. We seek him through studying his word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In order to walk in relationship with God and to have eternal life, we must first be saved. Hallelujah. We must repent. We must recognize where we are, and then repent. And then we have to believe, and then we have to confess. We must be saved. Being saved is, as Pastor said, when you first become saved, you are on. That's it. You have eternal life. It's a gift to you for salvation. Hallelujah. And as we recognize our need for Christ, we recognize that we need to bridge the gap. We recognize that we need more in our life. We recognize that we need relationship with him. So as we recognize these things and we know that we are not in right standing with the Lord, then we have to repent. Amen. We have to repent, and repent means to have a changed mind. Hallelujah. And then you also, as you repent, not only does your mind change, but your heart changes as well. In John 3 and 16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus Christ is bridging the gap for you and between you and between God. Amen. In Luke 13 and 3, it states, except ye repent, you will all likewise perish. Excuse me. So don't just say that you're going to repent, and don't just say that you're going to turn from your wicked ways or whatever. Don't just say it and then not do it. But we have to come into relationship with God so that if we say that we're going to have a changed mind and God, I repent for doing this, we must mean it from our heart. We must mean it internally and say it and confess it to the Lord. Because a lot of times we can say, you know what, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you turn around and you do the same thing all over again. How many of you have been there? I know that I have been there plenty of times. I say, well, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. If you just get me out this time, then I know everything will be all right. God rescues you. He gives you a way of escape. And then you go right back into the same thing. That's the sinful nature of man. But it's Jesus Christ who bore all of our sins on the cross to bridge the gap so that we can be reconciled to God. But you have to repent in your mind and in your heart. There has to be a change that takes place. Once that change takes place, and then what you have to do is you have to believe. You have to accept. you believe, then you're going to confess. And in Romans 10, 9 through 11, it sums it all up, and we're going to read there. Romans 10, 9 to 11. And it reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen?
Yes.
That whole scripture sums it all up. We have to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we have to confess that with our mouth. Amen.
Amen.
And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to realize that it's nothing that we do. It's nothing that we can do physically that is going to save us and give us eternal life. But in Ephesians 2 and 8 it says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. So it's not all of the good works that's going to get you into eternal life with Jesus, but it's through being saved through Christ, and it's a relationship with Christ that you're going to spend eternal life with him. And what we must remember in so doing is, when we spend time with him, he gets so much pleasure out of that.
Yes,
he does. He gets so much pleasure out of that. And, you know, we can continue, you know, we have to make a choice. We can continue to do the things and the activities, or we can continue to make the choice to be in right relationship. And when you make the choice to be in right relationship, that's when God can use you.
Yes.
That's when God can speak to you, because you are totally yielded to him.
Mm-hmm.
You are in intimate relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he can use you the most. And I have learned that there are times when we all get busy. We all get busy. And you think that you're doing what's right, and the Holy Spirit will start pulling and tugging on you, and he will whisper into your ears, and he will be telling you what you need to do. And then you say, okay, well, just one moment, you know, I just want to finish this. I know you want me to go and pray for Sister Pat, but, you know, I just need to finish the dishes, and then everything can be clear, and then I won't have to come back to that. But, you know, okay, Holy Spirit, I know she needs it now. All right, wait one moment. You know, I just want to make sure the kitchen is situated so I don't have to come back and finish cleaning. Pat could be going through a detrimental situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
It could be a life or death matter.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not yielded, God can't use me.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a heart that's so, and a mind that's so, and an ear that's so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that if he were to whisper, we could hear him and do what it is that he's saying for us to do. But we have to be able to recognize the things that we need help in, recognize the things that we need to turn around in our lives. We have to repent to God for not doing them the way that he has designed in his word. Repent to him for the heart that we have that may not be pleasing in his eyesight. Then we have to believe on his word. We have to believe that he is there for us, that he's there to strengthen us. We have to receive from God, and we have to confess it. Do not be an undercover agent for God, where no one in your job knows that you're saved. When no one knows, the people that you deal with on a daily basis, that Jesus is the head of your life. Don't be undercover for him. God may want to use you in such a way, you know, and I think back to this. There was a person on my job that was very sick. And out of all of the people in our branch, that could have been called on, my manager called me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew, number one, that my husband was a pastor. He knew, number two, that I believed in God. He knew, number three, that if he needed to call on somebody, then he could call on me. He could trust me with that. And I went into that office and I started praying for that person. I didn't pray for them in fear, but I prayed for them in confidence that God was going to send healing to her body that she needed. But that's just one particular circumstance. We should all be yielded as a vessel to be used to the glory and honor of God. It's our heart that needs to be in the right place in order for us to see eternal, to have eternal life with Jesus. It's our lives that need to be the example to others of what Christ can do, is doing, and will do for them.
Yeah.
But we have to live our lives in such a way that we're not so busy that we can't hear and that we can't listen to the voice of God. But we must live our lives where we're seated at the feet of Jesus, like Mary was, so that we could receive from him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. That's it for today. I'm short today. Amen. I just thank God because I had to do self-examination. I had to do, and it's something that we all need to do from time to time.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We may go along in our daily life and, you know, think that everything is hunky-dory and everything is okay and you're doing what you feel is pleasing to God, but we need to seek God to see if we're doing the right thing.
Amen.
You know, we could be spending all of our time and our attention on one thing and God wants us to be focused on something totally different.
Yes.
But if you don't have relationship with him, then you won't know it. You won't be able to hear from him. And you won't know it. Amen. We're standing on our feet.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.